Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, my friends, family, fellow entrepreneurs of the world. It is Tuesday, terrific Tuesday, January 10th, 2012, and I will tell you it is a fantastic day to be alive. I feel great. I actually just got off the treadmill, ran a little over 2 miles. I'm in the gym, running, feeling good, got my headphones on, listening to great music. You know, I was actually listening to a little bit of a hip-hop song, and the guy in the song says, "If you ever love somebody, put your hands up," and now I am in the gym on the treadmill, throwing my hands up in the air at 6 o'clock in the morning, just feeling good about life, you know. And as I was in there, I noticed an interesting phenomenon that I want to share with you guys before we get into the subject of today's call. Here it is, first of the year, right? Today is the 10th of January, 2012. Well, here's something that's interesting. This gym that I go to, I've gone to, you know, every day, Monday through Friday for, gosh, over a year now, maybe even longer than that, maybe close to 2 years. And so I'm in there every morning, and I see who's in there. And one of the things that I love about this gym is when I go in the morning, usually, sometimes I'm the only person in there, and other times maybe there will be a handful of people, okay? Well, at the first of the year, first of January, what happened? I go in there, there's like 20 people. The gym is full, you know? And I'm like, wow, what's going on? And then it hit me. Oh, okay, New Year's resolutions, right? The gym's full first of the year. Well, here we are, Tuesday the 10th of January. Guess how many people were in there this morning, including me? A grand total of 5. There were 5, so a little bit more than a couple. Good guess, though, Bill. A little bit more than a few, but by no means was there the 15, 20 in there that were there the first of the year. So a guy's got to wonder, right? Why? Why are there so many people that start the new year with these resolutions and these goals, and not even 2 weeks into the year, they're gone, they've quit, they've given up? Well, isn't that a good question to ask? Isn't that a worthy question to ask? What's the difference? Because here's the thing. What is it worth to start something and not finish it? In other words, what was it worth for those 15 people that came into the gym the first few days of the year and then quit? Here's my answer. Absolutely nothing. It wasn't worth anything to those people, because if anything else, they wasted a little bit of time that they would have been doing other things that they wanted to do. They didn't get any of the benefit from, you know, staying persistent with their goal to exercise and have a healthy body. So what's the difference? Why can somebody start something and finish it and get all of the benefits, all of the results, while another person can start something and quit and get absolutely zero results? Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're on this call for. You know, almost a century ago, there was an individual, one of the wealthiest men in the world, named Andrew Carnegie. And he was referred to by Napoleon Hill, author of Think and Grow Rich, as a lovey, canny old Scotsman that had a merry twinkle in his eye, that had figured out how to make a lot of money. And he asked Napoleon, "Napoleon, will you take 20 years of your life? Will you take 20 years of your life and bring this secret to people? Will you spend 20 years of your life, research, understand why is it that some people go to the gym in the beginning of the year and quit a few days later, while others go every day, consistently feel great about life, are happy, healthy?" You know, not specifically that question, but you know what? The secret applies to that. The secret applies to health. The secret applies to wealth. The secret applies to relationships. It's all in this formula. So Napoleon, what he did is he invested 20 years of his life, folks, almost a century ago, 20 years of his life, researching successful men and women from all walks of life, and he boiled down a formula that will allow Paul, Bill, Dee, Chris, everybody on the call to achieve greatness in life and to be able to start things and stay with them and finish them. And that's what this call is all about. It's about discovering the formula, discovering the secrets, being able to extract those principles from this seminal book and apply them into our lives so that we can be the person who's on the treadmill 2 years down the road, running, listening to a great song, feeling great, throwing his hands up in the air, saying, "Yeah, I've loved somebody and I feel great about it." Okay, we want to be that kind of a person. We want to be the person that achieves and gets the benefits out of these wonderful things that life has to offer. So what is one of the secrets? You know, as I think back to these people that started the gym and then stopped already, But one of the things that people miss out on is how to cultivate desire, okay? We'll start out with a goal and we'll say, gosh, I'd like to achieve this, but we never, ever develop the desire, the burning desire that will cause us to just continue on and that will really reprogram ourselves automatically. And we learn how to do that in this book, Think and Grow Rich. We learn about auto-suggestion. We learn that desire can be cultivated. When you set a goal to make $500, $1,000, $2,000 a month, it's just a weak wish, folks. When you set that goal, maybe even when you write it down on paper, it's still a weak wish. You have to take that goal and you have to turn it into what Napoleon calls a white-hot burning desire. And how do you do that? You think about it every day. You write it out. You repeat it to yourself morning and night, morning and night. You repeat the self-confidence formula. And then what else can you do to make it even more effective? You start to mix a little emotion with what you're saying, because emotion will drive those words deep down into your subconscious. And then maybe you even mix a little visualization in what you're doing, where you look out into the future at that $500, that $2,000 a month that you're going to accumulate, and you can actually see the check. You can see the cash. You can touch it. In the case of the gym, you look out into the future, and you can see a happy, healthy, vibrant body full of energy and really impacting the people that you run in contact with. So just wanted to share that thought with you, because that's what we're doing on this call. We're learning how to be achievers. We're learning how to stop and follow through and not quit and really get the benefits, really get the full panorama, the full scope of what this life has to offer. Okay, that's what we're doing on this call. So if you're on this call now, give yourself a pat on the back. If you're committed to this call, give yourself a high five. If you're listening to this call later on in the recording, I'm telling you, this call will change your life. Not because of what Paul says, not because of what Bill says. Yeah, maybe a little bit. But more so because of the principles that we're covering on this call that were discovered by Napoleon Hill. Actually, the principles have been in existence all throughout humanity, but Napoleon found them one by one, synthesized them, and put them into a book. And these are the things that will change your life if you will stick with them, study them, and apply them into your life. So that being said, kind of a long-winded introduction, but I think some good thoughts to think about as we're going into the day here. We're learning in the chapter on organized planning a little bit about leadership. And, you know, just real quick story here. About 18 months ago, I was looking for an organization that, you know, I'm in the network marketing industry, obviously, and I was thinking to myself, if I could just find a team where the leadership was already in place, where the webinars were being done, where the calls were being done, and all I had to do was find people and send them to, you know, the team. I thought, you know, that would be great. In essence, what I was doing is I was saying, how do I find a place where I don't have to become a leader? and you know, that's okay. That's where I was. But what happened is I started to apply these principles that we're learning in this book, and literally automatically, folks, I started to develop myself into a position where now I'm doing the calls. Now we've got, you know, and this is, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm sharing this experience with you to understand that what happens is automatically you will become this leader that people will want to follow. And why do you want to become a leader? Okay, 18 months ago, I didn't want to be a leader. I just wanted to follow leaders, and I wanted to bring people to them and have them, you know, perpetuate the system, so on and so forth. Why is it important to become a leader? Why is this an important study? Ladies and gentlemen, leadership is influence. John Maxwell said it best. He said, leadership is influence. And if you want to be a positive force in the world, which I believe that every person on this call does, if you want to be able to influence people for good, if you want to be able to share great ideas, ideas that you've discovered that have had a profound impact on your life and really brought value to you and caused you to have more happiness in your life, if you want to be able to share those ideas with other people and have them listen to what you say and want to follow, ladies and gentlemen, that's leadership. And there's really no way around it. We've got to develop ourselves into leaders so that not just we can make the most money, which, by the way, that is where the most money is. Leadership is where the most money is. But it's more than that. It's so that we can share value with the world so that we can impact people on the highest level possible and really change lives in a positive way. So that's why I'm so grateful that, fortunately, through these principles we're learning on this call, I'm starting to become a leader, and I'm starting to influence people. It's really a major blessing, and it is a worthwhile endeavor. So Bill yesterday talked about the major attributes of leadership. Today we're going to talk about the 10 major causes of failure in leadership. Here we go. We come now to the major faults of leaders who fail, because it is just as essential to know what not to do as it is to know what to do. Number one, inability to organize details. Efficient leadership calls for ability to organize and master details. No genuine leader is ever too busy to do anything which may be required of him in his capacity as a leader. When a man, whether he is a leader or follower, admits that he is too busy to change his plans or to give attention to any emergency, he admits his inefficiency. The successful leader must be the master of all details connected with his position. That means, of course, that he must acquire the habit of relegating details to capable lieutenants. Now, as we're going through these, I would encourage everybody to think about attributes that maybe you already possess, and then also to think about ones that maybe we need to work on. That's exactly what I've done as I went through this last night and going through today. I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm doing okay there, but here I can improve, okay? So number one, inability to organize details. Number two, unwillingness to render humble service. Truly great leaders are willing, when occasion demands, to perform any sort of labor which they would ask another to perform. The greatest among you shall be the servant of all, is a truth which all able leaders observe and respect. And not to get religious on everybody, but a great example of this is in the New Testament when Christ washes the feet of the apostles. You know, he, according to the Bible, was the greatest. And what did he do? He got down and washed the feet of those he was serving. Okay, that's willingness to render humble service. Number three, expectation of pay for what they know instead of what they do with that which they know. And you can see this in a lot of places. The world does not pay for men, does not pay men for that which they know. It pays them for what they do or induce others to do. Number four, fear of competition from followers. The leader who fears that one of his followers may take his position is practically sure to realize that fear sooner or later. The able leader trains understudies to whom he may delegate at will any of the details of his position. Only in this way may a leader multiply himself and prepare himself to be at many places and give attention to many things at one time. It is an eternal truth that men receive more pay for their ability to get others to perform than they could possibly earn by their own efforts. An efficient leader may, through his knowledge of his job and the magnetism of his personality, greatly increase the efficiency of others and induce them to render more service and better service than they could render without his aid. How true that is in network marketing, okay? We want to empower and enable people. We don't want to keep them down. We don't want to keep ourselves on top and keep other people from developing and contributing and adding value. That's not the goal. The goal is to develop people that, you know, rise above and even surpass where we're at, because in network marketing, we get paid for that, right? That's one of the beautiful things about this business model. Number five, lack of imagination. Without imagination, the leader is incapable of meeting emergencies and of creating plans by which to guide his followers efficiently. And real quick, in network marketing, in our industry, lack of imagination. You know, in the past, I've had support teams that were totally against the internet, and you'll see this out there. There's this thought mentality that's, you know, network marketing is a certain way, and you just don't mix it with the internet. Well, that lack of imagination caused those previous leaders that I had to lose me as a servant, as a team member, okay? And then on the flip side, there are some leaders out there who believe that, oh, you've got to use technology, you know, the old way doesn't work. Okay, that's a lack of imagination as well. We need imagination that says, hey, let's take all methods that work, let's teach our teams everything that works, and let's let them, you know, choose the way that's best for them, okay? That's leadership with imagination. Number six, selfishness. The leader who claims all the honor for the work of his followers is sure to be met by resentment. The really great leader, get this, claims none of the honors. He is contented to see the honors, when there are any, go to his followers, because he knows that most men will work harder for commendation and recognition than they will for money alone. So self-aggrandizement has no place in leadership, and we can all work on this. Let's be more humble. Let's give all the credit to the people that we're serving, the people that we're working with, our team members, okay? Number seven, intemperance. Followers do not respect an intemperate leader. Moreover, intemperance in any of its various forms destroys the endurance and the vitality of all who indulge in it. Eight, disloyalty. Perhaps this should have come at the head of the list. The leader who is not loyal to his trust and to his associates, those above him and those below him, cannot long maintain his leadership. Disloyalty marks one as being less than the dust of the earth and brings down on one's head the contempt he deserves. Lack of loyalty is one of the major causes of failure in every walk of life. And just real quick, I know this call is not all for network marketers, but we've got a lot of network marketers on the call. How is disloyalty exhibited in the network marketing industry? Well, how many people do you run into, or you know, that are working 3, 4, 5 businesses at one time? Okay, and do you ever see those types of people with a big following? So far, I have not. Okay, and why is that? I believe that people want to follow somebody who has planted their flag in the sand and said, "This is where I stand. This is where I'm moving. This is where I'm going. Do you want to come with me? Do you want to lock arms and go with me?" That's how you generate loyalty. You do not generate loyalty, in my opinion, from hopping around from ship to ship. You know, how can people count on that? They can't. So you've got to be loyal. Number nine, emphasis of the authority of leadership. The efficient leader leads by encouraging and not by trying to instill fear in the hearts of his followers. The leader who tries to impress his followers with his authority comes within the category of leadership through force. If a leader is a real leader, he will have no need to advertise that fact except by his own his sympathy, understanding, fairness, and a demonstration that he knows his job. And you see this all over the place, leadership by authority. There's one individual that comes to mind that I've been familiar with in the past. Actually, great leader, has produced phenomenal results. I mean, literally, his company does millions and millions and millions of dollars, but he's a leader by force. He tries to force people to do things, and it does work. Some people do follow that, but you know what? I'm a person who will never follow that person, because I value my freedom. And if you want to attract freedom-loving people, the force is not the way to do it. It's through free agency. It's through empowering people and moving forward with freedom of choice. Number 10, emphasis of title. The competent leader requires no title to give him the respect of his followers. The man who makes too much over his title generally has little else to emphasize. The doors to the office of the real leader are open to all who wish to enter, and his working quarters are free from formality or ostentation. These are among the more common of the causes of failure in leadership. Any one of these faults is sufficient to induce failure. Study this list carefully if you aspire to leadership, and make sure that you are free from these faults. And Napoleon goes on to talk about some new fields in which leadership will be required. I'm not going to go through all of those, but I did want to read the first one because this made me chuckle last night. I had to read it a couple of times. He said, and remember, this was written, I believe, in the 1930s, and he says, first, in the field of politics, there is a most insistent demand for new leaders, a demand which indicates nothing less than an emergency. The majority of politicians have seemingly become high-grade, legalized racketeers. They have increased taxes and debauched the machinery of industry and business until the people can no longer stand the burden. And how true that is, how true it was in the 30s, how true it is in, you know, the time in which we live, almost 100 years later. So there's opportunity for leadership everywhere. And, you know, my goodness, what can you do if you develop yourself into a leader, if you're able to inspire people and empower people? We do need you in politics. Let's all make a fortune in the field that we're in, and let's go into politics and, you know, bring honesty and integrity and some of these things that need to be brought back. So great list of 10 major causes of failure in leadership. I know that I have some work to do. Bill, thoughts, my friend, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here, Paul. No, you've covered just about everything. I just more towards the beginning of the call, I had a thought, and everything that we talk about, we relate to ourselves and our own experiences. And I was awestruck by the thought of creating a white hot burning desire. And I'm also awestruck by what Melvin said last night on last night's training call about what is hard to do will become easy the more you do it. And his analogies were great. And but I just wanted to help a few people out there that I know that are kind of straddling this, what I'm about to say, and trying to understand the difference between a white-hot burning desire and just a desire or a burning desire. And the difference is, like the gentleman brought up the other day about changing his alternator, if you guys weren't on that call, I'll give you another example. Have you ever had your telephone cut off for any reason? And you're in the business of communication. You have to communicate with people in order to be successful in your business. So communication is key. And when your telephone goes out, what do? You stop at nothing to get your telephone turned back on. You'll go down, you'll throw on clothes if you're at home, and you'll go down to the payphone, and you'll call them, and you'll be on hold for 45, 50 minutes trying to get whatever is wrong with it taken care of. That is a white-hot burning desire. You stop at nothing to get it done. And that's the kind of white-hot burning desire that we're talking about here on these calls. Now, I know that's just as prevalent for me as well, because as I'm sitting here doing my affirmations this morning, I mean, I've been up since 5 o'clock this morning, Eastern time, so it's already like noontime for me. but I'm just saying, I've been up for a long time, and I've been doing stuff this morning, doing my affirmations and thinking about, geez, creating this definite purpose of $3,500 a month by March and what I'm going to do that and how I'm going to do it and putting a plan together and then taking the action. And it's like, then I catch myself, why are you messing with that stuff? You need to be doing this. And, as we go through these things that speak of the 10 major causes of failure in leadership, as Paul was reading them, I was thinking, inability to organize details. Wow, that applies to me. I kind of fly over everything and then just do it all in the end. And that's not the way to do things. So I have to work on that. We're all human. Paul's human too. He has faults. He has problems. He has things he has to work on. But what we really need to do is don't put too much weight on these 11 things, because we all have flaws. And if you just keep it super simple, organize yourself, create a plan of action, have written goals, do your affirmations, fake it till you make it a little bit when you're talking to folks. If you don't believe 100%, just keep doing it and you will believe. Eventually you will. It just becomes inherent nature. Like Melvin said last night, the more you do something that's hard, the hard becomes easy. And the stuff that was easy before, like sitting down in front of the TV and turning on a program or watching it, that will become hard to you because you're so involved in what the original hard stuff was to do, the stuff that's become easy. I can't say it as well as Melvin did, but boy, that really took a toll on me, and I decided that, feel the fear and do it anyway. That's easy to say, but going out and doing it, that's hard. It's not easy. Paul knows that. But Paul has figured out how to turn fear into easy, how to turn hard into easy, and we all can do that. I've turned hard into easy. We've all turned hard into easy. Now you have to do it in your business. And that's basically what I have to say, Paul. I look through these expectation of pay for what they know instead of what they do with that which they know. The world does not pay men for that which they know. It pays them for what they do or induce others to do. That's exactly what I'm talking about right here. And so we have to take action. We have to get on top of things. And that's where I'm at, Paul. So thanks for letting me have the call for a minute.
Absolutely. Love those comments, Bill. Really appreciate the value you've added there. And just one final thought before we open it up, you know, to Q&A and comments from the group. You know, you mentioned how the world pays for what people do, not for what they know. Well, I don't know if everyone on the call has had this experience, but I certainly have, where you're working under or with a leader who is like, you know, cracking a whip and saying things like, oh, I've done this and I've done that, and so you need to work for me now and you need to make me money. I mean, not in those words, but that's the undertone that you read from the things that they're doing. When they're not in the trenches working with you side by side, then you get the feeling that they're just up on this mountain cracking a whip, you know, asking you to go to work. And I'll tell you, nobody wants to work with somebody like that. Chris Wells, he's on the call. He knows what I'm talking about. We were working with some people like that before, and it got quickly old. We wanted to find some people who were working with us. So, you know, my current sponsor in my company is a guy who's in the trenches. He's on the calls. He's recruiting. He's been there. He's done that. He has the experience and he has the knowledge, but the piece that he has that the other leaders that I followed in the past didn't have is he's actually applying what he knows. And those are the types of people that I want to work with, and those are the types of people that your people are going to want to work with. So that's really powerful in our industry of network marketing. We've got to do. We can't just know. Yes, we've got to know, but we've got to do. We've got to be willing to pick up the phone. We've got to be willing to work with our team. We've got to be willing to do all the stuff working side by side with them. That's how I think we become effective leaders in the network marketing industry. So that being said, I'm going to open it up here. Let me okay, my friend, star six, and the line is yours.
May I
Paul,
ask
this is
Melvin?
Greg.
Oh, good, okay.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I heard, I heard Greg and then Melvin. So, Greg, go ahead, and then we'll hear from Melvin.
Hey, Paul, from the second you got on the phone, you've been a white-hot, burning desire this morning, and it's contagious, friend. That is pretty awesome and a great call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. Wow, I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you.
You guys are doing a great job this morning there. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you loud and clear, Melvin.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. And, you know, someone just complimented you, Paul, and what I just like to point out to everybody is that all of what you hear coming from Paul takes no effort. You know, a lot of us, we sit back and we listen to him and we see what he's doing and how he's doing it, but there's no effort there. That's such a natural thing now, and that's kind of like back to, you know, what I was saying in terms of once you put yourself out there and you go over that hump, you know, what's hard, it becomes effortless. It becomes so natural, so easy that it doesn't even take any work. It just, there's a natural flow that takes place. And it's so delightful to be associated with and be working with someone like Paul who's reached that point and allowing that to take place. And what I'm amazed with is he's so young. You know, if he's doing all of this, what he's doing right now at that age, where this guy's going to be 5-10 years from now, is going to be just magnificent. The other amazing thing, too, is that there's nothing that Paul has or says or does that we all do not have. I mean, every single human being has this. There's no one who does not have it. And that's what's so amazing about the whole thing. You know, I don't want to change the subject too much, but I did want to point this out to people, because I have people all the time that say, well, I'm not going to chase people. I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. And what they don't understand is we all need to be able to work with the people that are untogether, the people that lie, the people that play games, because that's the majority of everyone. The majority of all people are in fear. And if we're not willing to work with those, there's not too much we're going to be able to work with. So at the same time that we're looking for these leaders, we've got to be able to have some understanding, some patience, and to kind of like go along with a certain amount of nonsense as we bring those along. So I just want to throw that little thing in there as far as your business is concerned. Back to you, Paul.
Great addition, great comments, Melvin, really powerful. And, you know, I'll say something. I really appreciate those compliments, guys, and I'll say something that my sponsor in the business always says when people give him a compliment. He says, and I believe this is true, he says, when you see something great in another person, the only reason you see that is because you recognize that in yourself. It actually takes being able to, you know, see something in yourself to be able to see something good in others. And I do believe that. And like Melvin said, we all have it within us. And I also wanted to elaborate real quick how Melvin said that now it is natural. It is easy. It does happen automatic. And this is not to brag. This is simply to share what's happened to me. 18 months ago, I told everyone on the call at the beginning of this call, I wanted to find people who were doing the calls. I didn't want to do the calls. Why? Because what in the heck am I going to talk about? I have no idea. How do I get on the phone and inspire people? How do I get on the phone and lead people? What do I say? I don't know. And back then, I could barely even imagine coming up with something to say maybe on a call once a month, okay? Well, what's happened to me, and this is just such an interesting phenomenon, and it's why I'm so excited about this book, Think and Grow Rich. What's happened to me is I've applied what we're learning in this book literally on a daily basis. I daily program my own brain. What's happened is every day I can get on a call 2-3 times a day if I needed to, and I have ideas. As I'm in the gym in the morning, I'm coming up with, I could say this, I could share this story, I could share this idea, and I get on a call, and it just happens automatically, and that will happen for you as well. It's pointed out in the book Think and Grow Rich. It's pointed out in the book Psycho Cybernetics. It's pointed out in the book Psycho's The Science of Getting Rich. These are abilities and really gifts from the infinite that we all have within our reach, as Melvin's pointed out, if we will apply what we're learning here. So thank you, Melvin. Anyone else want to hop up?
Yeah, this good morning, Rick from California. How are you guys doing?
Hey, doing great, Rick. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Rick.
Jam-packed. Energy is, wow, a lot of energy here, enough to fly me to the moon and back. But you know, it's fantastic. You know, what I'm hearing here, you know, one, you got to be persistent. You got to get to a point in your space when it comes to leadership that you get to a point where you just can't quit because inside you won't let you quit. And I'm telling you that somebody said that when you continue to do things over and over, a ratio starts to appear. And I think it was Jim Rohn who said that. And then when you continue to do it, the ratio tends to increase. And he gave the example of the baseball, the hitter, who gets paid, I think, he could be batting three or 400, and he's getting paid $5 or $6 million a year. So you don't have to hit 10 out of 10 for everybody that you try to contact in your business. The thing that I want to say about that also is you have a purpose when you got to have a purpose when you're contacting somebody. The question that is to ask somebody is to find out, to qualify that person, whether they're looking to improve their life. Are they looking to make some extra money on a part-time basis or not? And it's either a yes or no answer. Okay? And if it's a timing is wrong, hey, listen, 6 months from now, it is okay if I contact you again? Maybe things change. It's a question. Or do you want me to take you off my list? It's a simple question as that. But you're going to be successful in any way, because all you want to do is find out if that person is looking to be in business to make some extra money on a part-time basis or not. Do they want to take a look? That's really all. And you're successful whether the answer is yes or no, because you found out exactly what it is you wanted to know. And you move on. And you're going to find a, you're going to find somebody in business. You're going to find it. You just keep on looking. You just got to weed out. You just got to weed it out. And if you really, really, really look at the whole statistic, less than 5% of the people are successful in this country. So think about that. You have to go through 100 people to get 5. You got to be willing to do that. That's basically, that's what you got to do. You got to look at it. You may get 5 in the beginning, and then 95 more comes, and you never hit one. But that's just the way the ratio is. It's simple as that. That's what you got to work with. It's sad. The richest country in the world, but only less than 5% of the people make it. That's what you got to live with, and that's what it is. I've been in business for 25 years, and I've never seen so many whiners and whiners and criers. I just got to be honest with you. I've never really seen it. I mean, I've seen grown people crying about doing things that they want to tell their kids to do. It's a shame. That's really all I got to say.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Rick. You know, and just real quick, last night we did some live prospecting calls for about an hour, and I left so many messages. I think I talked to 2 people. I did set 2 appointments for today, but at the end of the call, I was talking to one of the leaders on the call. He's like, "Man, I feel sorry for you. You know, no live calls and stuff." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, we left messages and we'll get callbacks." Well, within 30 minutes of completing that, so I have this hour's worth of time where I've got a group of people listening to me leave all these messages. And probably a big number of the people on that call thought, well, that was, you know, worthless. There was nothing there. Within 30 minutes of hanging up from that call, somebody sent me a completed application to join my network marketing team. A person I hadn't even talked to just left a message. They had looked at the website, sent me a completed application. So, Rick, you're absolutely right. You go through the numbers and things that seem to be maybe even worthless, you know, leaving all these messages, I'm telling you, they produce results. You successful people do the things over and over and over again that seem boring, that seem like they're not producing results, and that's where results come from. So, great comment.
Yeah, I
appreciate
that. To that too.
Please, yes.
You know, you cannot prejudge anybody. You cannot prejudge anybody. You know, the person, Paul and I were talking about this the other day. We talk to people all the time, and so do all of us. But you know, it's funny because we'll talk to somebody, and they'll talk about how they're going to, you know, light the world on fire, and things are going to change, and they can't wait to get started and all this stuff, and they don't do zero. They don't do anything. And then the quiet ones, the ones that hardly say anything, they light the world on fire. So you cannot prejudge anyone. I even catch myself saying, well, I'm not going to call this one because, you know, and then I'm prejudging, and you cannot do that. And Paul just gave the example of why you can't do that. He left so many messages last night. I was starting to feel sorry for the guy because he went through an hour of answering machines. And I said, boy, I know what this guy's going through. I almost felt like saying, come on, Paul, call me. I'll change my voice. Anyway, that's it, Paul.
Yeah, check this out. What if everybody did what I did last night on a daily basis? Everybody on a team, whether you know you're working with us or on another in another company, doesn't matter. What if everybody did an hour a day, and so but they sponsored one person at the end of the month after an hour a day? That would be incredible success. And do you realize that we would all be incredibly wealthy in 12 months' time if everyone would just do that? I made an hour of boring calls and left messages and got one person signed up. If I did that an hour a day, according to that ratio, that's 30 people a month. Well, what can we all do? Heck, we can all make an hour a day worth of boring phone calls, sponsor one person a month, have duplication, you know, just crazy duplication, and I'll make a fortune. So I love this industry. I love what we're learning together as we move forward in this journey of life and getting the most out of life and doing what Melvin calls the easy. And it is the easy once we get into the swing of it and once we really get into, you know, this activity of programming ourselves and taking action. It is easy, and it is the better way to live. So I love each of you. Thanks all for your – oh, yes.
This is Bill Winch.
Hey, Bill, sorry about that. Go ahead.
No problem. Listen, what you did last night, though, was realistic. So many times we paint a picture that's so unrealistic, saying, you know, all you got to do is do this and do that, and then you have a big bank account. Well, that's really not realistic, and what you did shows what you have to do to make it happen, and it was great.
It was.
Thank you. Yes. Yep, realistic. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bill. Very, very good point. Anyone else here before we close the call?
Somebody
okay.
said,
oh, sorry.
Is a resentment waiting to happen?
I'm sorry, what was that, Rick?
Someone said false expectation is resentment waiting to happen.
Resentment waiting to happen. I'm not sure I understand that.
Says false expectation is resentment.
Oh, false expectation. Yes. Yes, yes. All right. Well, listen, anyone else, if you want to contribute to the discussion today, go to Facebook. We are Thinking Grow Rich. We'll have an ongoing discussion. Let's get out there today. Let's take action. Let's be people of power, faith, vision, and let's move forward. Love you guys. Have a great day. We'll see you back tomorrow morning. Thanks again, everyone, for your contributions to the call.
Bye-bye.